We are so excited to have Pastor Bud Burke with us this morning talking about discipline and anger. We probably don't need a show of hands of how many people needed this talk this morning, but we know that it's something that is practical for our everyday life, and so I'm excited to hear what he has to say for us. He is the pastor for Child and Youth Discipleship at Bethlehem and has been on staff since 2008. He is originally from Southern California and became involved in ministry to children out there, where he was the pastor of Parent and Child Discipleship before coming to Bethlehem. He has been married to Lisa since 1987, and you might know Lisa from downstairs in the nursery. He also has two children, Tom and Charlotte. And if you have ever heard Bud speak, you know he has a passion for our children and for helping them grow up to know Jesus. So please help me welcome Bud this morning.
Mothers, this is awesome. This is awesome. I'm really glad to be here. My wife and I, we've been married 24 years. My son's 22. My daughter's 21. And our opportunities to be tested in patience and in anger and frustration didn't end when our kids were in early childhood. This is a big, big thing, anger and frustration and impatience. And so as I was just preparing to come here, I want to give you a good word. In fact, my primary hope is that you would go home encouraged today. That you would go home as your heart is filled up with hope in the Lord. I really do want you to be hope-filled. Don't want you to be crushed. Don't want you to feel condemned, but feel filled up with hope. And this is what I was just reading, sitting back there on that chair. This is Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. The God of peace will be with you. Just think about it. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. The God of peace will be with you. And then Paul says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Mothers, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. The God of peace will be with you. I mean, I could only just say that, pray for you and send you home, and that would be enough. It would be enough. But I have more things to share. As I was reflecting on this and preparing for this, the topic, anger and frustration and patience with children in the context of discipline and correction, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the burden on my shoulders was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I just had to take a step back and say, okay, I'm going to remove that burden. And my hope here is just to bring a point of light, just a ray of light today. I won't answer all your questions. This is way too big. But maybe we'll talk and just take a step forward on this Tuesday. Just a step forward. You know, I found myself wishing that you could be on this topic for four Tuesdays in a row. Four different speakers on the same point, and you'll get kind of a well-rounded point of view. Because I'm going to look at this through a particular angle, but there's more to be said on this. But maybe just a ray of light today. Just a ray of light. Now this, on Wednesday morning, I had my notes set to go, and I was in my spending some time with the Lord, my devotions, and the Lord gave me feeling for you. I just felt love for you. I felt compassion for you. And he took me to a couple of passages of hope. They are not directly tied to my notes, and it could be that these words of hope, for some of you, this is all that you need to hear right now. It's very possible. And I just want to read God's word to you, and I want you to be encouraged. And then I'll pray. So just receive this as a word of encouragement. This is Isaiah 40, 28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jesus' blood purchased that for you today. Or Psalm 16, verses 8 and 11. This is so good. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is present with you in those moments of discipline and correction where you're being tested. He's there. Or Psalm 28, verses 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. You cry out for mercy, moms? This dad does. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. And he loves to grant mercy to his children. He does. And then finally, Psalm 142, verses 1 and 2, 5 and 6. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Do you tell your trouble to the Lord? Just tell him. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. And he does. He inclines his ear to the cries of his people. So moms, be encouraged. Jesus' blood purchased these great Old Testament truths for you today and for me. Let's pray. God of hope, my prayer is that you would rain down great measures of mercy and grace and compassion and goodness and kindness upon my sisters. These mothers, your daughters, that this day would be marked by a renewed hope, a renewed strengthened faith in the normal context of being a mom at home. So cause your loving, powerful presence to shine upon them, Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, may they not be crushed. May they be built up. And may they walk with you all day long. This Tuesday, every circumstance, every relationship, constantly they are in tune with you, talking with you, communing with you. Moments of peace, moments of pain, they're with you constantly. Help them, Lord. Make yourself known to them now. And Lord, grant me grace to give a good word now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do, what I'm about to say is some introductory comments, which kind of are going to be longer than just introductory comments. They kept getting longer and longer the more I prepared. So they kind of blend into the main message. And then we'll look at some texts in James and, Lord willing, in Corinthians. But these first few words might be a little bit hard, and they're appropriate to be hard, dealing with anger, but I'm going to end with hope. So take heart, okay? Take heart. As parents, we get angry at our children during times of discipline, correction, and even other times, anger, frustration, and impatience. I call impatience and frustration siblings of anger. It's all the same family. So we get angry at our children primarily, most of the time, because we are glory thieves. We take away from God what belongs to him alone. We want it all to go our way. We want control. And when it doesn't happen, we get angry. Our way, our control, our glory rises up as supreme. We actually expect our children to always respond the right way when we discipline them or correct them. Something that we ourselves have not yet even done. You know what it's like for your husband to bring something to light, maybe a sin in your life, or my wife to point out something. That's hard. Well, it's hard for your children too. This striving for God-like control also reveals itself when our children merely cause an accident, like the most inopportune time. Spilt milk right before you go into church. The worst time. And what happens? anger, impatience, frustration. It's almost as if we really believe that this broken, groaning world is no longer broken and groaning, and we just can't believe it while things don't go right. This is a brand new thought for me, and I want to thank Paul Tripp for this. It is the kindness of the Lord to place your child or your children in a home where parents know Jesus. This is a place of hope. This is a place of forgiveness. It's a gospel home. Many children's sin is not being expressed in places of hope, in places of forgiveness, in gospel homes. He chose your children to be born in a place where God is known and loved. How kind is that? It's amazing. That is an amazing reality. You are a rescuer. Not the rescuer, but you are a rescuer. And God works His grace through you to your children. Here's a question. What would it take for you, for your heart to default during times of discipline and correction, for your heart to default to thankfulness as opposed to anger? God, thank you that this is happening here where you are known and loved, not someplace else. This is something to think about. And I'm grateful for Paul Tripp to bring that up. So we have desires for our children, good desires, that they would respond to our correction and respond to our discipline. These are good desires. But good desires tend to grow outside of their bounds. And when that good desire grows outside of its bounds, it becomes a demand. And we begin to distance ourselves from our children and becomes cold and like a dictator kind of expression. Now this desire is growing outside of its bounds. It's become a demand, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And now it becomes a need, an expectation. Our joy, our peace are now seen directly related to our children's obedience. We see that their obedience is essential to our lives for our joy and our peace. We're putting all this pressure on them. And when they don't respond well, we lose our joy and we lose our peace. So this little desire, which was really good, is now as massive, way outside of its bounds. And when we get disappointed and our needs and expectations are not met, what happens? Punishment. And that's where the anger comes. That's where the frustration comes and the impatience comes. So when it reaches this stage, man, it's way out of control. Way out of control. Anger multiplies anger. So you know what it's like for somebody to come to you with anger, hard words, maybe a critical email. Boy, I could talk about email. I'm not going to do that. I might. We'll see if I have time for that. But, you know, your response is, in like turn, you want to be angry back. And so when we become angry with our children, impatient with our children, and frustrated with our children, we're actually encouraging them to join us in our sin. This is like saying, son, I'm so angry at you right now. I'm just losing my control. Why don't you come join me in that sin? That's what's happening. Don't want it. Who wants to do that? But that's what happens. Richard Baxter is a Puritan, and he puts it this way, and I just read this 2 days ago. And boy, the Puritans have a way of just packing it in this little statement. Listen to this. It is the devil's bellows. You know that thing that puts oxygen into the fire to flame it up? It's the devil's bellows to kindle man's corruptions and set hearts, families, and kingdoms aflame. He gets in on that when we get angry. And he wants our children to join us in our sin. Man, here's another thing that happens when these good desires go way outside of their bounds. Our children will leave us. They'll avoid us. They will learn to be at a safe distance. And I can tell you, if that pattern lasts year after year after year, it will break your heart 20 years from now. Because you want to have a relationship with your son. You want to have a relationship with your daughter. And you have 2 decades worth of this pattern. And when it gets to that stage, it's really hard to undo. Praise God for grace. Praise God for grace. But you don't want a broken heart. Just today's, think of it this way. What happened today at home, what happened yesterday, will have fruit 20 years from now, if that continues. And here's another thought. Our sin has an audience. always. Jesus sees. He's there. He's constantly there. In fact, I would say he's here. Right now. We just think of it. Our King is here right now. And perhaps angels are watching. Every expression in those moments of correction and discipline, there's an audience. Man, what if we could see with our physical eyes the spiritual realities in a moment? Wow, that would be overwhelming, I think. It would be overwhelming. But God doesn't look with... Our King doesn't look down upon us with condemnation. He looks upon us with love. That's true. Now, there is one who is angry over sin. And if he wasn't, he would not be holy and he would not be God. Praise him, for he has poured out his holy wrath upon his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll never get what we deserve. We deserve wrath, but we won't get that. We'll be given everlasting love. Everlasting love. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Think of it this way. We have been saved by God and his grace, from God and his wrath, for God and his glory. I mean, salvation is primarily about him, not even about us. He loves us. I'll try to do this from memory. Come on, bud. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and his truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. So take heart. The wrath has been settled. Yesterday's wrath, settled. It's over. It's a brand new day. God's mercies are brand new today. So here's three words of hope before I get into James. Identity. You are not defined by yesterday's anger. She's an angry mom. No, she's not. She's a daughter of the King. Your identity is summed up in who you belong to. You are not an angry mother. You are a daughter of the King. In this very moment, that is precious. That is powerful. You're a daughter of the King right now and forever. You are never an angry mom. You might be angry sometimes, but you're not an angry mom. In the presence of God, you are never alone. You are never alone, ever. Constantly, he is with you. Think of the Great Commission where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations. I'm with you always. Mothers, go and make disciples of your children. And then the King says, and I am with you always. You're never alone, ever, ever alone. And you've been bought, therefore you are owned. You are kept by a mighty hand. Our King, our Shepherd, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You are kept right now by the one who bought you. So you're in a good place. You're in a good place. Now I want to identify with your anger, okay? This is just a little window into my world. This is about 4 or 5 weeks ago. One of my kids, I allowed them to make me angry, and I allowed that anger to grow into bitterness in my heart. And as some men do, I'm in the garage pacing, and I'm getting bitter. And I haven't felt this way in a while. And you know what the Holy Spirit used to stop that? You. He reminded me, in about a month, you're going to be talking to these mothers about what you're experiencing right now. And what I was experiencing was allowing my heart to grow in bitterness. So I know. I understand. I relate. I understand. If this is all I had time to say, it would be enough. We are glory thieves seeking control. We deserve holy wrath in our sin and anger, but we have been given love, grace, and mercy in Jesus' name. Go in peace. It would be sufficient. But we have more. I have a little more time. Here's a key question. key question. What causes anger, impatience, and frustration in our hearts with our children in times of discipline and correction? If you have your Bibles, let's turn to James chapter 1. And if not, I will read these texts to you. James chapter 1. And we're going to go through three different places in James, and I want you to make the translation. It's you and your children. Or it could be you and your husband. Or it could be you and your in-laws. Or neighbors. But primarily you and your children. Verses 13 through 15. James says this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Desire. Desires in our hearts. Bad desires or good desires that grow outside of their bounds. That's where the problem is. The problem is not primarily our children. The problem is our hearts. As parents, we are enticed by our desire for control. And when that desire is not met, we punish with anger. And James goes on in verses 19 and 20. And this is where he begins to point us to practical application. And I will give you one expression of practical application before we're done. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Slow. Slow. And man, Proverbs talks about this a ton. Let me just mention a couple of texts. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. May you, as mothers, quiet contention in your homes. Or Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit, may you rule your spirit with God's help. And he who rules his spirit, then he who takes a city. Or Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. That's a fighter verse. Or Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not quick in your spirit, that's the heart, to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Be slow to anger. I'm going to come back to these verses when we talk about our practical application, verses 19 and 20. My encouragement to you is just be slow. Let's move to James chapter 4. James is developing this emphasis on the heart and desires and passions in the heart. And I'm going to read through verses 1 through verses 8, or the first part of verse 8, and make the translation. You and your children. You and your son. You and your daughter. And what causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. In verse 2, he says, you desire, and you covet. And I think it's control that we're after. We covet and desire control, and when we cannot get this, we murder. We don't. think of it in those terms, but that's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." He makes this association with murder and anger. Anger is the seed to murder in deed. Anger is the seed to murder in thought, in the heart. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Those are hard words. So we get angry when our desires for our control that are seen as essential to our joy and peace do not get met. But what is essential to our joy and peace? Well, it's God Himself. The God of peace is with you. He's essential to your joy and peace, not your children's obedience. Oh, man alive, I wish I knew this 15 years ago. It is a blessing, not that you're listening to me, it is a blessing that God is pleased to give you this word today with little children. It is a blessing. So take it. It's the kindness of the Lord. Our desires to control are expressing who we are in that moment of frustration with our children. The battle is for lordship. Who is being worshipped right now in our hearts? All of a sudden, the battle has almost nothing to do with your child. It has everything to do with your heart. And when you have these moments with your children, it's a window or a door that opens up what's in your heart, and what's in your heart will come out. I remember I was blessed, even though I grew up in Los Angeles, I was blessed to grow up with horses. And we kept horses at these stables, and we would go in there, and my horse would be in this pen standing for a long time, days sometimes. And you take the horse out of the pen and go into the big arena. And you let the horse run in the arena and get all the kinks out. And she loved that. But this arena had two gates. And I'd walk in that one gate and shut that gate and let her go, and she would just take off running. And sometimes I would forget, in that far end, that gate would be open. And she knew it. As soon as I let her go, she would go straight for that gate, and out she went. And I had to go chase her, and that was hard. Every time, every single time that gate was open, she'd run out. And I would tell you, these opportunities with your children are windows or doors into your heart, and what's there will come out. And it's the kindness of the Lord to reveal what's there. It is. He's not a condemning God. It's been settled on the cross. It's His sanctification. And that's an expression of His love to you. Mm-hmm. Becoming more like Jesus. Amen. So, those hard moments, be grateful. Lord, thank you for this. It's hard, but He loves to forgive. He loves to forgive. So, how you train your heart in such moments when your child is two will produce fruit when your child is 22. I really want to keep encouraging you to look two decades down the road. Today, shape a little bit more of who your son or daughter will become. And God's grace is bigger than what happened today. And then James says a hard thing. He says, you adulterous people, in verse 4. That's a hard word. You don't see that in the New Testament very often. What's he saying? Well, we turn in those moments where we're serving our passions and desires in losing control with our children, we turn our back on fidelity to the one who is in control. We turn our back on our God, and we turn our back on His glory. And we turn to caress ourselves. We caress our power, our reign, our rule, our expectations, our control, our glory. And the truth is, we can't even control our child's heart. We're just acting like we can. We can control their behavior, but we cannot control their heart. The Lord is pleased to use us to shape that heart. But the truth is, He doesn't need us. He just chooses to use us, and that's a kindness. And then James gives a good word. He's hard words. And then he says, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He looks upon the humble. See, we're glory thieves. We're self-worshippers, seekers and pursuers of our control in these contexts of discipline and correction with our children. And in humility, the Lord looks upon us. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is David's prayer of confession and repentance in Psalm 51. Or Isaiah 66:2. But to this one will I look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. may you have contrite hearts. The Lord looks upon you. Here's an ominous thought. The greatest, most powerful created being in the universe, Lucifer, constantly opposes you. Constantly. And in our pride, his creator opposes us too. Two different motives, but man, the odds are stacked against us and then some. You want to be on the side of our Lord. And that's a humble heart. A humble heart. He looks upon the humble heart with favor. So, Lord, help us grow in humility. So James brings a hard word of exhortation. You adulterers, he says. But then he brings a helpful, hopeful word of grace. God gives grace to the humble. Now, I want to make just a brief mention about you being ambassadors for the king. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, if you can, we're going to look at three verses very, very briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I try to make this application to you in your homes with your children. Verse 15, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, for their passions, for their desires, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Verse 20 and 21, we are ambassadors for Christ. Make the translation, this is your home, your children. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you, son, daughter, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It's what we want for our kids. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Be reconciled. You are ambassadors for the kingdom in your home. With your children, with your sons and daughters. Our tone of voice with our children represent Jesus. We're either telling the truth in our tone of voice, or we're not, about who our King is. You are ambassadors. The look on our faces with our children represents our King. We're either telling the truth about our King or not, with the demeanor of our face. We are ambassadors. You are ambassadors for the king in your homes. The message we bring to our children represents the king. We're either telling the truth or not about our king. We are ambassadors for the king in our homes. You are daughters of the king. And you carry his message with his demeanor and his tone to the children he's granted you. That's significant. But God gives grace for that good work. So take heart. God gives grace to the humble. And the humble are those who know they don't control others' hearts. And the humble know their place. They are the created. He is the creator. And the humble know whose strength does change hearts. It's God. That's why we pray. We pray to the Lord. I can't change this heart of this, my son's heart or my daughter's heart, but Lord, you can, would you? Draw near to the Lord. He will draw near to you. Asaph said in Psalm 73, for me it is good to be near God. You are near God in those moments, those hard moments at home. You are near. Boy, Johnny Erickson taught us last two books that she wrote, and I wished I remembered the titles of them. I commend them to you. But she talks about one of the hardest places for her is when she sleeps at night. I mean, she can move her neck, and she kind of flails her arms a little bit. That's about all she can do. She feels pain in her back, which she isn't supposed to feel. Her vertebrae are crushing. She lays down on her bed, and the gravity just pushes her down, and it makes her feel claustrophobic. I can't even imagine what that must feel like. And it's harder for her to even move her head. And she'll lay there for hours before she can go to sleep. And she says that she has learned to commune with her God in those moments. And she uses this phrase that has stuck with me, and I commend it to you. She says, I press my weakness in upon God's strength. I press my weakness in upon his strength. I press my hard heart in upon his warm heart. And so as mothers, may you press your weakness in upon your King's strength. And in that context, then, love your children in Jesus' name. Be patient, mothers. Be patient, mothers. I want to give a word about practical application. I don't know if this is going to fly for you or not, to be honest with you. I really don't. But if the Lord would use this to stir up creative thought to come up with a different practical application, then I'm very glad for that. Part of this I have used with my kids, not when they were super young, but more when in the junior high, high school years. But I gave this some thought, and I hope this is helpful. Remember now, you are an ambassador for the King in your home. Be reconciled, son, be reconciled, daughter, to your King, to the Savior. This is the leaning of your heart. It's primarily be reconciled. It's not primarily stop it. Okay? There's a distinction. There's a big distinction. Be reconciled. So remember, James says, be slow to speak, slow to anger. Okay, this is sidebar, but this will help express this. I'm going back to email. Just when you receive a sloppy, uncaring, critical email, you know, you can send email and you can say anything you want to. Nobody's there to correct you. Nobody's there to clarify. It just comes, and it comes hard. I have learned the hard way. Do not respond quickly. Because when you respond quickly, you just destroy relationships, and it just gets worse. You respond slowly. Thank you. I will call you for clarification. Peace. That's what you say. That's it. And you buy yourself some time to go into it slowly. I really mean that for email. I'm learning to do that. That helps so much. I want to take that same application to your world as mothers with your children. In the moment when you're disciplining or correcting or imploring your son or your daughter, and you feel anger or impatience or frustration rising up in your heart, here's my encouragement to you. Stop. Stop. Just stop and pray out loud. 2 seconds, maybe 5 seconds, something like this. God, help me. Remember now, you're being watched and you're being listened to by your son and your daughter. God, help me. Or if you think you have a little bit more than 2 seconds, God, I feel anger coming. Save me here. I can't control my son's heart. I have a hard enough time with my own. You are in control here right now, not me. May your name be glorified in this home and even in this very moment. That took about 10 seconds. But you were able to pause and slow down. And you're teaching your son or your daughter something in those moments. Now remember, I keep saying, look ahead 20 years. In the heat of the moment, let's just say it's a son. In the heat of the moment, he's watching you. The heat of temptation to be angry, the heat of temptation to lose your control, he sees you stop and pray. How is that going to serve him 20 years down the road? When he, and he will be, tempted to look at pornography, either in his mind or on the screen, you will have taught him in the heat of the moment to ask for help. See, more is going on here than just you disciplining your child. Maybe he lied. Okay, you got to deal with that. But there's more happening here than him lying. There's idols in your heart, and you're thinking 20 years down the road, you're helping train him to go to the Lord in the hardest of places. And for a young man, that's a hard place. So think big. So much is happening. So talk to the Lord verbally. Just take a moment to pause. Apply James' words, be slow, to that moment. It could be 2 seconds, it could be a minute. And you'll be more in control to move forward. That's one thing. So you're talking to the Lord out loud. So it's like you're stepping back away from your son and you're talking to the Lord. But then talk to your son. Say something to your son. Let's just say he lied and that you need to deal with that. But you're setting that moment of deception aside for just a moment, and you're going to some big things. So you're talking to the Lord, and then you say to your son, two trains of thought, knowledge and love, knowledge. Son, I know what it's like to sin against God too. I know what it's like to lie. Identify with him in his sin, because you know. But then say this, I also know what it's like to receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. I just want you to know that, son. Number two. Even in your sin, I love you. And God loves you perfectly in your sin. So much so that he sent his son Jesus. That's about 10 seconds. It's about 20 seconds. But I reminded him that I know what it's like. I identified with him. I said, I know what it's like to be forgiven. And I love you. Even so. And my love is imperfect, but his love is perfect. And you point them, and you point your son to the Savior. I'm not real creative, but back in the day, I called it the Big Four. Knowledge. I know what it's like, and I know what it's like to sin, number one. Number two, I know what it's like to be forgiven. Number three, I love you. Number four, he loves you, and he sent Jesus to take care of this. It's the Big Four. And it served me for a while. It did, because this is during the teenage years with my kids. Oh, man, you'll have opportunity to be angry during those seasons. Probably. And this helped slow me down. It did. It stepped me away from the deception and reminded me of some great truths that I need to communicate to my son or to my daughter at that time. I think I would like to pray for you, because I think I'm done. I think I'm done. Let me do that. Let me pray for you, and then I'll turn it over to Jen. So, Father, I come to you on behalf of my sisters, whom I will be with forever. Because of your grace, we will always be together, always, before the face of your Son. Wow. God, I thank you for the family of God. And these, my sisters, are your daughters. And they carry an aroma of the gospel into their homes. They represent you. They represent their King, their Savior, their Shepherd, their Friend on this Tuesday. And Lord, I'm reminded of promises in your word, like God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Or my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. That he who serves, let him serve by the strength that God supplies, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So, Father, I'm asking by the power of your Holy Spirit on this Tuesday on the days to come, that these mothers would be reminded by your Spirit of these promises that Jesus' blood purchased for them. You did not call them to obedience as mothers and then leave them alone without grace. Your grace is sufficient for this good work. Oh, Lord, and I would confess, it's hard. Being a parent's hard. I know it. Help them today. May they go home with hope. I'm praying, Lord, please, may they go home with hope, remembering that they are not angry mothers. They are daughters of the King. They belong to you. Their identity is summed up in their Savior. He came. He's coming again, and he's here. Lord Jesus, you are here. It's an amazing reality. So cause your loving, powerful, heart-changing presence to shine upon these mothers. And then, Lord, I pray for their marriages. Lord, we could be talking about marriage instead of parenting right now. And so I'm asking that the story that they tell with their husband about you and about Jesus and about the church would be truthful stories. Lord, help them. Help them. Even tonight, when their husbands come home, perhaps from school or from work, or maybe they're home, that first connection, that first interaction would be honorable to you, and you would grant grace for that. And Lord, I pray for every single child that's represented in these homes. May they all become worshipers of you and worshipers of Jesus, not merely children who carry on an external measure of religion, knowing fighter verses and knowing Bible stories. Lord, we're in a teaching church. They'll know a lot of these things. But Lord, change their hearts. May they believe. May they abide. May they worship Jesus. May they return to the shepherd of their souls. May they listen to Jesus and look upon him and love him and treasure him. And may there be a day when they will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Come, enter into the joy of your master." So we pray, Lord, because we can't do those things. But you use means. Okay. So help these mothers. They are means. Work through them. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.